1. I know that it's a little rude to speak with a piece of candy in your mouth, but I'm really starting to get a sore throat, and so I'm going to put this in my mouth and hope that it'll stop it, okay? The past 2 years, as we have approached Christmas, I've been an employee at UPS, and as you know, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, you don't get days off, really. It's called peak season. And last year and the year before, I even had to work Christmas Day, Christmas Eve. And so I can remember the holidays coming and going and not having any idea that we just went through them, really. I mean, I was aware of it. But I remember just not being able to just sit down and clear my mind and embrace Christmas. And I want so badly for all of us, you especially, to get Christmas. I mean it. And so what I'm going to challenge us with at the end here in about 15 minutes is that you, literally you and your household, would be intentional about making Christmas meaningful. Meaningful in the area of Jesus through the Word is focused upon. Okay? Every single household. Okay? So I want us not to just say, okay, I know what Christmas is about. Not to say we're going to give away some presents. I'm asking every single one of you in here. Okay? So I guess, firstly, I'm talking to the men. You husbands, if you lead your household spiritually, if it's not the men, then it's the women, yeah, whoever. Be intentional, starting today, from till December 25th, to make your home, okay, your home, at home, a place where you focus upon Jesus and Christmas through the Bible. Okay, and I'm not going to tell you exactly how to do that. I'm going to talk a little bit about it. It's up to you. Do it however. Because if you try to be me, it's not going to work well. You be you and lead your family that way. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I've done. But when I work at UPS, 2 years ago, I had no idea and it just blew us past and we didn't have any children at Christmas. But last year we had a child. JJ was about to turn 1 at Christmas. And me and Valeria want so much for our family to be a place where Jesus and the Bible and truth is just dwells there. A sanctuary for our family. So we started an Advent. I went out to Hobby Lobby. I looked at all these different pieces of wood and all that sort of stuff. And I don't have any skills in that area at all. With a lot of wood glue and some brown paint and everything, I came up with this, who knows what. Val calls it an Advent calendar. And it's got all these different things. And it looks like a huge birdhouse. And it's got 24 different squares about that big. And Val cut out green and red felt, put a door on each one. She took numbers. And so it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It goes all the way down to 24, 25. And what we did is every single day from December 1st to December 25th, we would put a piece of candy, well, last year it was a Cheerio, in there. And we would take 10 minutes sometime during the evening, turn off the TV, settle ourselves down, get this calendar thing out, it's about this big, and set it down. And we would say, JJ, this is Christmas. Jesus, our Savior, came. And Christmas is about how He came. God came to us, JJ. And on each day, He would lift it up, the little door up, and pull out the Cheerio and be all excited about it. And He knew that we were getting to this last day. And the last day is what Christmas is. It's just a real simple way that we, all the way back on December 1st, 3.5 weeks away, were saying, JJ, Christmas is coming. This huge, huge holiday that is celebrated over the whole earth is coming, JJ. And it's because our Lord came to save us. Okay? I want to read you this. This is a little Advent book that I use. You could pick up something like this from a Christian bookstore. This one is by Nancy Guthrie, and it's really, really, really good. It's called Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, Experiencing the Peace and Promise of Christmas. It's a little book. It's got 22 readings for Advent. If you would like to have something, this is a really, really good one. I want to read you this preface. My husband tells the story of a Christmas when his family had to wait. Listen to this. You may have been there. When his family had to wait to open their Christmas gifts while he went into his bedroom to wrap the gifts he had bought. "What's the matter, David?" his grandmother asked as he emerged from his room with his stack of hastily wrapped presents. "Did Christmas sneak up on you this year?" "I have found in my own life that I've too often allowed Christmas to sneak up on me. I've allowed the busyness of purchasing presents and planning travel and participating in Christmas pageants and parties to crowd out a quiet anticipation of the wonder of incarnation. Too many Christmas mornings, I've realized that while my presents were wrapped," listen to this, it's a great sentence. "Too many Christmas mornings, I've realized that while my presents were wrapped, my heart was completely unprepared to truly take in the gift." And what I'm asking us tonight is you're being told on November the 29th to get ready. And start thinking about how you're going to get ready for it 4 weeks out. Because we're 4 weeks out right now. Okay? And for some of y'all, I know that you may not read Scripture at home. But I'm asking you to. I'm going to show you some places in the Bible. Okay? Sit down, whether you have children or not. Sit down, just say, "Hey, I've never done this before. I'm going to turn off the TV. And we're going to read about Jesus coming." Okay? Just take 5 minutes. And do that. Do something like that. Or just say, "Hey, we're going to pray right now." Or when you sit down at the dinner table, say, "I trust that you maybe pray and thank God for your food." But say, "Hey, we're going to focus right now on Christmas. Because 3 weeks from now, because 2 weeks from now, because 10 days from now, we are celebrating the King Jesus being born. And this matters to us. We're not going to miss the point of Christmas." All right. So here we are at Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read to you verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." I want to talk tonight just about that Jesus is King. That's what I tell the kids at Super Church every year. The Super Church t-shirt from just last Christmas says, "The King has come and he's coming again." Because we believe that Jesus is coming back. But Christmas is that he's already came. The King has come. And if you believe that Jesus is King, what's he King over? What is Jesus King over? Okay, he's King over all creation. Yeah, what else? What else is Jesus King over? Who said that? Us. He's our King. Great answer, Brandon. He's our King. And I want to ask you right now, do you live like you have a king? Seriously. Do you live like you have a king? A king. If you were watching a movie and a king walked in, what would happen to the people? They'd bow down. Wouldn't they? They'd bow down. Is there any sense at all that you're bowed down to the king? Because I think that you're wrong if you say that he's king over you, if you aren't bowed down to him. Is there any sense at all in which you are bowed down to him? For young people, you know what that would look like? That would mean that a very normal temptation among young people is that they would have unhealthy, immoral relationships with the opposite sex. That's a very common, normal temptation for guys and girls. Okay? If Jesus is your king, you're bowed down to him. Bowed down to him. And that would mean that you have temptations there, but because he's your king, you are desiring, fighting, working to show him as king, to not let the temptation get you. For us adults, there's a lot of different ways. A lot of different ways for kids too, but for us adults, there's a lot of different ways. And how is it in your life that you are showing that you are bowed down to a king? Is there something? Is there something in your life that shows that you are bowed down to the king? And if you can't think of things, is he your king? Are there any steps in place in your life that show he's our king? Here's how I know he's king of this home. Here's how I know he's king of this marriage. Here's how I know he's king of this person. What do you have put in place in your life that shows that you're bowed down to the king? I think this is helpful, but y'all seen in a movie, the king walks in and the people do like this? They're bowing down to him? I think me doing that gives you the imagery, the visual picture of what it means to have something, someone in your life that says, I'm bowed down. It may start for some of us with just Bible reading, prayer, tithing, church attendance. Is he even king in those areas? Do you even have your life in place to say, wow, I mean, we don't have much money. I got a lot of bills to pay. I've got to buy presents for all these people. Just can't really tithe right now. Or can you say, no, he's my king. I bow down to him. The first fruits of my money goes to him. I'm giving him this much regardless. LG&E may have to wait. This person may not get a present this year. But I'm bowed down. Are you set up to where you're bowed down so that you make a point to read the Bible at home? You make a point to be here? What do you bow down to? What in your life shows that you're bowed down to Christ? Listen to the song that we just sang. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. He's king. He's king over us. On Friday night, me and Val took the boys, and it was freezing cold. That's probably why my throat's sore. Downtown Louisville to light up Louisville. It was cool. I'm glad that we went. We got to see Santa come in. We got to see all this different stuff. We got to see the Christmas lights lit up and the fireworks go off and all that sort of stuff. And they had the male high school choir out there singing songs. And for everybody else, it was just an event. And there were just people over there. But you know what it was for me and Val? It's like worship. They're singing about Christ. One of the songs, I don't even know what the song was, but they just kept saying, Jesus is born, Jesus is born, Jesus is born, Jesus is born. And that was part of the song that they were singing. Out in the public, downtown Louisville, male high school choir, public school, and one of the lines in the song, they just kept going over again, like, Jesus was born, Jesus is born, Jesus is born. I was thinking, absolutely he is. That's who died for my sins. See, I want us to get to where Christmas means everything to us. So when you go home next week and TNT or TBS on cable TV is showing the Christmas marathon. And so every day during December, they're showing Christmas movies. You know what I'm talking about. They have these Christmas shows on all the time. So that for you, it's not just something y'all do. This is the time where my family's united in the fact that Christ is King. So that when you see a manger scene, a nativity scene, you're thinking, that's my Lord. That's my King. This is who my whole world and heart and life and time and self-control and priorities and money spending and work ethic. This is where all of this comes from, through Him. Jesus Christ. The reason why I want to be the best employee I can be is because of that manger scene right there. Jesus, my King. I have bowed down to Him. Another song, just turn over a couple pages, and there's a bunch of them, is 91. Silent Night, Holy Night. Listen to this. Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Did you know if you go walking through like Target or Walmart right now, they're playing Christmas music? Have you already seen that already? You go into the stores, they're playing Christmas music. We're in there and I'm thinking, wow, I mean, it's everybody around here, Christmas shopping, whatever. But they're like background music. It's worship to us. They're singing about Christ. They are playing over the loudspeaker at Walmart what we stand together as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ and sing from our hymnal, Silent Night. I want us to usher in Christmas. Listen to this one verse. Verse 32 of Luke chapter 1. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. He's great. He's called the Son of the Most High. God has given him the throne. He will reign, and his kingdom will have no end. How is he king over you? And I'm asking you this Christmas, this holiday season right now, to put in place something that shows that you and your family and your household is bowed down to Him. Okay? I want to show you a couple places, all right? If you take down notes, if you don't know, many of you may be able to navigate your Bible and find this stuff, but I want to tell you about Matthew chapter 1, all right? Matthew chapter 1, that'd be a good place for you to read. You don't have to read the whole chapter. But Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy, okay? There's a genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. So, from verse 1 to verse 17, it will take you from Abraham all the way to Jesus. Okay? That's neat. Because Jesus being born is a real person with a real family tree with a real genealogy. Read that sometime with your family. Okay? The next passage in Matthew chapter 1, all the way to the end of the chapter, is what I read at the beginning of the night tonight, the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2 is the visit of the wise men. Also in there you have the flight to Egypt and why they had to do that. Okay? Turn over to Luke chapter 1, which is where we are. In Luke chapter 1, you have John the Baptist who prepared the way for Jesus' birth being told. Then you have Jesus's, okay? Then from there, you have the connection of Mary and Elizabeth. And then you have this great song that comes from Mary. Okay? Read these different passages. Then in the end of chapter 1, you have the great prophecy from Zechariah about Jesus. Okay? Then in chapter 2, you have the birth of Jesus, the shepherd and the angels. Okay. Now turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the first 18 verses is called the prologue of John. This is the introduction to this gospel in which John is telling that Jesus Christ is God and that he became a human. Wonderful Christmas passage. That Jesus Christ is God, that's why we would say Lord at thy birth in that song, and that he became a human. Wonderful passage. So that's just some places to start. You got Matthew 1, Matthew 2, Luke 1, Luke 2, and John chapter 1. Break those up. Get them in small chunks. Read them and think about them. Like tonight, we have just read from Luke chapter 1. We have thought about verses 32 and 33 that Jesus is King. And we're asking ourselves, what does that mean to us? And I'm asking for you to make your home a place that does that all the way from now to Christmas. So you won't be like the lady that writes this book and she says that Christmas snuck up on them. And she says that too many Christmas mornings, I've realized that while my presents were wrapped, my heart was completely unprepared to truly take in the gift. J.I. Packer says, "For the Christmas spirit is the spirit of those who, like their master, live their whole lives on the principle of making themselves poor, spending and being spent to enrich their fellow men, giving time, trouble, care, and concern to do good to others and not just their own friends in whatever way there seems need." See, if you're like me, you've got a lot of thoughts about what Christmas is to be like and the way you really would like to have Christ in his proper place at Christmas. And what I'm saying is, the reason why I read this quote is because the mindset of giving and serving and really taking it all in is not going to come about if you don't plan for it, if you don't put into place ways to help you get that. I'm going to read you this quote right here from Tim Keller. "Christmas is the end of thinking you are better than someone else, because Christmas is telling you that you could never get to heaven on your own. God had to come to you. Because Jesus was born." Jonathan Edwards says in this book, it's a great quote, is so much better to have Jesus in the heart rather than Jesus only in the womb. What he means is that a lot of people in our country are going to recognize that Jesus was in the womb, right? But may we be those who have Jesus in our heart. So that we are saying, starting right now, we're going to treasure him up. He is going to look like a king to us. Because we are asking that God would make us more and more faithful people to him, used by him. You heard me preach at the Thanksgiving service Tuesday night. Thank y'all so much for being here. We packed that place out. We had a great turnout. Thank y'all for that. But our community desperately needs some real Christians. Our community needs a group of people who are going to live like Jesus is King. And we are bowed down to him. And there really is no better way for that to get started in our community and among our church than this Christmas season, us treasuring him up. And if you'll start right now this week looking toward Christ, anticipating the birth at Christmas, God will really, really move in your heart. And when Drew leads us in a Christmas song, it will be worship to you. It will be worship to you because you have been meditating on it, thinking about it, preparing for it. I want to ask you to do that. I want to ask you to make this holiday season perhaps the first time in your life where you look forward to the coming of Christ on an intentional, set out, laid out, purposeful basis. Jesus Christ was born, and my family's life and household from now till then shows it matters to us. So that's the challenge tonight. Maybe a good start for you is just praying together about it. I hope a good start for you is that you're going to read the Bible. If you want to, go out and get you something like this. Go to Walmart. Go to Hobby Lobby and say, what do you have that's Advent? They've got lots of calendars. They've got things like I built. Start seeing how you and your family can anticipate this and treasure up Christ. I can't wait. Now we've got two boys. JJ's going to be older. We're not going to put Cheerios in there. Might put a Skittle in there or something like that for him. But we're going to say, JJ, it's December the 1st. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. You know what that means? Jesus came. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Jesus is going to learn to treasure up Christmas. I can't wait. It's only our second year doing it with our kids. I can't wait. I want your family to do the same thing. Let's pray together. Father God, please make us a group of people, Father, that will prove to the world and to our families that Christ is our King. We are bowed down to Him. Father, help us to anticipate the Christmas season. Help us to anticipate, God, Christmas Day, the celebration of the Word becoming flesh, Jesus Christ coming. God, I ask that as I have just challenged these people, God, that You would cause those in here tonight to be convicted, to be encouraged, to be inspired, Father, to go out and lead their homes toward this. And God, I look forward to hearing in the coming weeks of how it was such a blessing, how it was so rich and so sweet. God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.